The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, Part 19. How the four stages of the soul, to which belong the five aforesaid states of tears, produce tears of infinite value, and how God wishes to be served as the infinite, and not as anything finite. These five states are like five principal canals which are filled with abundant tears of infinite value, all of which give life if they are disciplined in virtue, as I have said to you. You ask how their value can be infinite. I do not say that in this life your tears can become infinite, but I call them infinite on account of the infinite desire of your soul from which they proceed. I have already told you how tears come from the heart, and how the heart distributes them to the eye, having gathered them in its own fiery desire. As when green wood is on the fire, the moisture it contains groans on account of the heat, because the wood is green, so does the heart, made green again by the renovation of grace drawn into itself among its self-love which dries up the soul, so that fiery desire and tears are united. And inasmuch as desire is never ended, it is never satisfied in this life. But the more the soul loves, the less she seems to herself to love. Thus is holy desire, which is founded in love, exercised, and with this desire the eye weeps. But when the soul is separated from the body and has reached me, her end, she does not on that account abandon desire, so as to no longer yearn for me or love her neighbor. For love has entered into her like a woman, bearing the fruits of all other virtues. It is true that suffering is over and ended, as I have said to you, for the soul that desires me possesses me in very truth, without any fear of ever losing that which she has so long desired. But in this way, hunger is kept up, because those who are hungry are satisfied, and as soon as they are satisfied, hunger again. In this way, their satiety is without disgust, and their hunger without suffering, for in me no perfection is wanting. Thus is your desire infinite, otherwise it would be worth nothing, nor would any virtue of yours have any life if you served me with anything finite. For I, who am the infinite God, wish to be served by you with infinite service. And the only infinite thing you possess is the affection and desire of your soul. In this sense, I said that there were tears of infinite value, and this is true as regards their mode of which I have spoken, namely, of the infinite desire which is united to the tears. When the soul leaves the body, the tears remain behind. But the affection of love has drawn to itself the fruit of the tears, and consumed it, as happened in the case of the water in your furnace. The water has not really been taken out of the furnace, but the heat of the fire has consumed it and drawn it into itself. Thus the soul, having arrived at tasting the fire of my divine charity, and having passed from this life in a state of love towards me and her neighbor, having further possessed that unitive love which caused her tears to fall, does not cease to offer me her blessed desires, tearful indeed, though without pain or physical weeping, for physical tears have evaporated in the furnace, becoming tears of fire of the Holy Spirit. You see, then, how tears are infinite, how, as regards the tears shed in this life only, no tongue can tell what different sorrows may cause them. I have now told you the difference between four of these states of tears. Of the fruit of worldly men's tears. It remains for me to tell you of the fruit produced by tears shed with desire and received into the soul. But first will I speak to you of that first class of men whom I mentioned at the beginning of this my discourse. Those, that is, who live miserably in the world, making a god of created things and of their own sensuality, from which comes damage to their body and soul. I said to you that every tear proceeded from the heart, And this is the truth, for the heart grieves in proportion to the love it feels. So worldly men weep when their heart feels pain, that is, when they are deprived of something which they loved. But many and diverse are their complainings. Do you know how many? There are as many as there exist different loves. And inasmuch as the root of self-love is corrupt, everything that grows from it is corrupt also. Self-love is a tree on which grow nothing but fruits of death, putrid flowers, stained leaves, branches bowed down and struck by various winds. This is the tree of the soul. For you are all trees of love, and without love you cannot live, for you have been made by me for love. The soul who lives virtuously places the root of her tree in the valley of true humility. But those who live thus miserably are planted on the mountain of pride, whence it follows that since the root of the tree is badly planted, the tree can bear no fruits of life, but only of death. Their fruits are their actions, which are all poisoned by many and diverse kinds of sins. And if they should produce some good fruit among their actions, even it will be spoiled by the foulness of its root. For no good actions done by a soul in mortal sin are of value for eternal life, for they are not done in grace. Let not, however, such a soul abandon on this account its good works, for every good deed is rewarded, and every evil deed punished. A good action performed out of a state of grace is not sufficient to merit eternal life, as has been said. But my justice, my divine goodness, grants an incomplete reward, imperfect as the action which obtains it. Often such a man is rewarded in temporal matters. Sometimes I give him more time in which to repent, as I have already said to you in another place. This also will I sometimes do. I grant him the life of grace by means of my servants, who are pleasing and acceptable to me. I acted in this way with my glorious apostle Paul, who abandoned his infidelity and the persecutions he directed against the Christians at the prayer of Saint Stephen. See truly, therefore, that in whatever state a man may be, he should never stop doing good. I said to you that the flowers of this tree were putrid, and so in truth they are. Its flowers are the stinking thoughts of the heart, displeasing to me, and full of hatred and unkindness toward their neighbor. So if a man be a thief, he robs me of honor, and takes it himself. This flower stinks less than that of false judgment, which is of two kinds. The first with regard to me, by which men judge my secret judgments, gauging falsely all my mysteries, that is, judging that which I did in love to have been done in hatred, that which I did in truth to have been done in falsehood, that which I give them for life to have been given them for death. They condemn and judge everything according to their weak intellect, for they have blinded the eye of their intellect with sensual self-love, and hidden the pupil of the most holy faith, which they will not allow to see or know the truth. The second kind of false judgment is directed against a man's neighbor, from which often come many evils, because the wretched man wishes to set himself up as the judge of the affections and heart of other rational creatures, when he does not yet know himself. And for an action which he may see, or for a word he may hear, he will judge the affection of the heart. My servants always judge well, because they are founded on me, the supreme good. But such as these always judge badly, for they are founded on evil. Such critics as these cause hatreds, murders, unhappinesses of all kinds to their neighbors, and remove themselves far away from the love of my servant's virtue. Truly, these fruits follow the leaves, which are the words which issue from their mouth in insult to me and the blood of my only begotten Son, and in hatred to their neighbors. And they think of nothing else but cursing and condemning my works, and blaspheming and saying evil of every rational creature, according as their judgment may suggest to them. The unfortunate creatures do not remember that the tongue is made only to give honor to me, and to confess sins, and to be used in love of virtue, and for the salvation of the neighbor. These are the stained leaves of that most miserable fault, because the heart from which they proceeded was not clean, but all spotted with duplicity and misery. How much danger, apart from the spiritual privation of grace to the soul, of temporal loss may not occur! For you have all heard and seen how, through words alone, have come revolutions of states, and destructions of cities, and many homicides and other evils, a word having entered the heart of the listener, and having passed through a space not large enough for a knife. I say that this tree has seven branches drooping to the earth, on which grow the flowers and leaves in the way I have told you. These branches are the seven mortal sins, which are full of many and diverse wickednesses, contained in the roots and trunk of self-love and of pride, and which first made both branches and flowers of many thoughts, the leaves of words, and the fruits of wicked deeds. They stand drooping to the earth because the branches of mortal sin can turn no other way than to the earth, the fragile, disordinate substance of the world. Do not marvel, they can turn no way but that in which they can be fed by the earth, for their hunger is insatiable, and the earth is unable to satisfy them. They are insatiable and unbearable to themselves, and it is conformable to their state that they should always be unquiet, longing and desiring that thing which they have to satiety. This is the reason why such satiety cannot content them, because they, who are infinite in their being, are always desiring something finite, because their being will never end, though their life to grace ends when they commit mortal sin. Man is placed above all creatures and not beneath them, and he cannot be satisfied or content except in something greater than himself. Greater than himself there is nothing but myself, the eternal God. Therefore I alone can satisfy him, and because he is deprived of this satisfaction by his guilt, he remains in continual torment and pain. Weeping follows pain, and when he begins to weep, the wind strikes the tree of self-love, which he has made the principle of all his being.